This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focus reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
For many South Africans, turning 35 can feel like crossing an invisible line. Now, despite years of experience, qualifications, and a willingness to work, thousands of people say they find themselves locked out of job opportunities because of age restrictions in recruitment processes. Now, it's posing a challenge that has given rise to a growing movement known as the Over 35 People's Platform. Now, this advocates for fair access to employment, economic opportunities, and dignity for South Africans who feel excluded by age-based barriers. As I mentioned earlier on in the show, please come on board this discussion. And if you have any questions, put them forward. 061-895-1019. Now, the movement is led by social activist Nonkululeko Hlongwane Mhlongo, who has become a prominent voice on issues of community empowerment, also civic participation and social justice. And her work has consistently focused on ensuring that ordinary South Africans are heard and included in decision-making processes. And that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to explore the mission of the Over 35 People's Platform, the realities facing older job seekers, and what meaningful change could look like now. Nkululeko, good afternoon to you, and thanks so much for joining us on today's show.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you on board. Let's start at the beginning. So what now inspired the creation of Over 35 People's Platform? And what gap did you see that wasn't being addressed by government, business, or civil society?
Yeah. So I have been working in communities for over 10 years. And this is across the country. And the one thing that I constantly came across was people complaining around not having access to opportunities, be it education, work, skills trainings. And at that time, I was still falling within the youth bracket. So it wasn't something that I was quite intensely familiar with up until I actually turned 36. So I'm somebody who has, you know, applied for funding, partnered with private and government institutions to be able to do the work that I've done. And as soon as I turned 36, everything cut off. Every single ad that you see that speaks around empowerment, every single, you hop onto LinkedIn, organizations, civil society, private businesses, your NYDAs, your DTIs are solely focused on the youth bracket, which is 18 to 35. And I think the more we engage with communities and realize the correlation between some of the, you know, the social economic issues that we face are also linked to the fact that as soon as somebody turns 36 in this country, they aren't able to access those opportunities. I think it became important for us to set a movement where a whole lot of these lived experiences by people who are over the age of 13, one, have a platform to be able to be heightened, but most importantly, to be able to galvanize enough support to bring, you know, attention to political players, but most importantly for government to be able to take sight of this and be able to implement programs that speak to this issue.
Nkululeko, how widespread is this age-based exclusion that we are discussing right now in recruitment processes in the country today? What are you seeing?
So it is. There are very little job opportunities that exist that do not have an age cap. And again, a lot of those age caps are 18 to 35. And it's not to say that there isn't reason for that existing. If we look at the statistics around youth unemployment, it then becomes the prerogative of different institutions to try and be able to curb that issue. But what we don't often speak about is a lot of the households that take care of young people are led by individuals who are over the age of 35.
Yeah,
so if, for example, as a parent, I have an 18-year-old, and we don't, or I don't have the capacity to create an environment where that young person within my house is able to dream big enough and aspire to do great things, then it also then has a knock-on effect on young people. When it comes to numbers, we're looking at over 8 million people who are unemployed in this country, and 4.4 of those people being people over the age of 35. And then again, I did mention the psychosocial impact of that, where you have 45% of the homeless people being over the age of 35, a lot of those are men who moved to different provinces to seek greater economic opportunities, but weren't able to get them and therefore resorted to staying in the streets. You know, when we speak about substance abuse, the age group that is susceptible to being addicted to substances, be it alcohol, drugs, is 41 and above. And again, a huge variety of those are attributed to economic issues. And we are in June month where we speak about men's mental health. So it would be important for me to mention that when we see age by suicide, a lot of those are again over the age of 40, and 80% being males. So we can't just say that it is, you know, a job opportunity, but it is the quality of life that we're speaking about. Not that we're saying now we're old and can't be employed. Yeah. But what we're trying to raise is that you have a huge bracket of unemployed young people that will eventually, every single year, move into a cohort of over 35s, because every year we have 35-year-olds who then turn 36. And then we'll see this missing middle bracket that people are not paying attention to, that will eventually cause and be a contributor to a lot of the issues we see in this country.
I'm curious, are there specific industries where this problem is most severe?
Absolutely. So we recently had somebody mention that they had spent about 3 years qualifying for security, getting the relevant accreditation. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they turned 35, they weren't able to get access to jobs. So the security industry is prevalent in that. When we look at the hospitality industry, the average age is 35. But when you look at your clubs and your bars, the older generation isn't necessarily equipped to doing that work. But again, when we speak about funding opportunities, even for businesses, SMMEs, entrepreneurs, women-focused mm-hmm. businesses, mm-hmm. they also have a tendency of focusing on a younger age bracket. So there is people who are unemployed, but we also then have a bracket that is unemployable. So if you worked for 2 years in your youth ages and then you spend about 8 years not being employed, if you go into an interview with somebody who has spent 2 years out of work, the preference will be for somebody who has 2 years out of work, again, because of the unemployability factor, having been out of the workforce for a long period of time.
You know, as a matter of interest, well, what kind of feedback are you hearing directly from affected job seekers? What are they telling you?
So one, we are speaking about people at that age who have a responsibility for their families. They have kids who are in school, who also have aspirations. You have people who are required to live on the 370, which is the SDR grant. But effectively, what we're shining a light on is that when you're over the age of 35, there are three opportunities or support levels that you're able to access from government. The first one being the SDR, which is 370. Secondly, to be supported by government, if you're over the age of 35, you must be 60 and above. And we're speaking about the elderly grant. And then the last option you have is that you must have a physical or a mental illness that you are then able to apply for a disability grant from. You don't have enough opportunities for the vast number of people who are over the age of 35, solely focused on then expanding the bracket to involve them. So we're not even saying that there has to be new programs that are then created solely for people who are over the age of 35. What we are calling for is for NYDA, for your DTIs, to expand at least the 35 and put it at a 45 or a 50 bracket, so that you're not leaving out this huge segment that has been left behind systemically.
Okay, so let's look at the platform's engagement with people across the country. So what are some of the stories and experiences that have stood out for you? What are people telling you about the realities of looking for work after 35?
So I think the one thing that I'm always gutted by is the number of graduates, unemployed graduates that we come across. And you have somebody who says, I have a degree in engineering, in IT, in admin, in HR. I haven't worked since I graduated in 2011. So again, a lot of people will say, but why would we focus on over the age of 35 when we have such a huge chunk of young people who aren't employed? A whole lot of the people who now sit at the over 35 people's platform are people who also looked for work in their youth ages. So it's not a matter of the fact that they sat being occupied by other things. And then as soon as they hit the age of 35, realized that they now had to complain about the system and how they exclude it. They began looking for work, graduated in their youth, had about 7 to 12 years within the youth bracket looking for this age. I mean, looking for these opportunities until they hit 35 and now had almost like a double discrimination. And I think when we do have a conversation around the platform, it's important to understand the rationale behind the 18 to 35 youth bracket that exists in South Africa. Post-1990, you know, post-apartheid, one of the things that government was intentional in saying is that we need at least somebody who's 30 in 1994 to at least have 5 years to be able to access opportunities previously they wouldn't have had access to because of the color of their skin and their race. So the rationale is something that must be applauded, but we also must also have a conversation around that rationale existed within the context of a government that would then follow through with the promises, follow through with the intentional interventions needed. So you now have somebody in 2026 who was 30 in 1994, is now 62, 63, feeling as though they've been double discriminated, one because of apartheid, but secondly, in this new dawn or the age of democracy, they still haven't been able to get access to opportunities. The amount of 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, now that we're speaking in Youth Month as well, who were young people at the time fighting for freedom, who now say, I have never worked in my entire life, is absolutely heartbreaking. And these are not statistics again. The 4.4 are not statistics. These are people who have responsibility. These are lived experiences. And these are people who have had to sit all of these years with aspirations and technical skills that are able to actually contribute to the economy, but have been left out because of age.
The after effects of our conversation we're having this afternoon, turning 35, which can feel like a crossing an invisible line. And despite years of experience, qualifications and a willingness to work, thousands of people say they find themselves locked out of job opportunities because of age restrictions in recruitment processes. If you've just joined us, I'm joined on the line by social activist Nonkululeko Ntlongwane Mhlongo, who has become a prominent voice on issues of community empowerment, civic participation, and in this case, what those who have turned, or rather, okay, they turned 35, and those who are now over 35, what they are encountering in the world of employment. And Nkululeko, once again, thanks for joining us. While government often receives the attention, employers also shape who gets opportunities. But what role should the private sector play in creating a more inclusive labor market for experienced workers?
Absolutely. The one thing that we also ask for is the employers are able to roll out training programs, technical skills. Mm-hmm. We speak a lot about the role of TVETs to be able to open that up. So our focus right now as the Over 35 People's Movement is partnering with public and private businesses who are able to assist communities in getting or getting trained through those art skills that are then able to create individual job opportunities. But most importantly, even for those who have been out of the job market for your 12 years, to also then be reinstituted in terms of technical skills, technology, work environment trainings that are absolutely necessarily need. Leadership trainings, we have organizations constantly reach out to us on the daily, asking to run leadership, you know, trainings, but also being able to equip us with technical, you know, support that is needed to engage far wide across the country. So the one thing that we constantly call for outside of funding is organizations who are currently doing the work in terms of technical training, artisan skills, soft skills, to be able to partner with us, to be able to roll these out. So that when we do get a point where we have an agreement with certain private sectors that say we are able this year to onboard 10% of the posts that we have and allocate them to over 35, then at least we have had programs that have been ongoing, prepare members of the Over 35 platform to then able to be allocated in those centers. But again, for us is to create enough awareness around the number of people who sit at home and become included at the system, outside of just the ability to work just based on age, to then be co-opted into the private sector.
The Over 35 People's platform, it's over, O-V-E-R, 35pp.co.za. Nkululeko, I'm just confirming, is that the website where one can go to and seek advice and assistance and ideas as to how to overcome what we have discussed on the show today, or navigate around it, if we can put it that way? But Nkululeko, we're going to have to leave it there. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us.